No one thought the vaccine rollout in Detroit would be easy. Nobody knew the city was going to get help from very large, very well-funded friends.
We built the system. We've got about 80 folks manning the phones. And to date, we've scheduled almost 43,000 vaccination appointments at the TCF Center in downtown Detroit.
This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. You can't say that Michigan's vaccine rollout has been entirely smooth. There simply aren't a lot of doses to be had. But the city of Detroit has been beating a lot of people's expectations for getting folks scheduled and moving them through the process. Today, we're going to talk about how that happened. The logistics thing was one piece of it, and that was big. But the whole story begins with people's personal experience with COVID, with traditional medicine, and that decision about whether to make the appointment. If you're lucky enough to be in a part of Michigan that has COVID vaccine doses, and if you're someone in a priority group, you might be ready to do it. You might not. Today, we're going to meet Donna Allen Brown. She's a barber, a baby boomer, a Black Detroiter. She's 65 years old, and she's caring for her mother, Serena Allen, who's 84. Donna's daughter is Stateside producer Erin Allen. She's going to pick up the story from here.
My mom has been lowering ears since she was 25 years old. Since then, her customers have become more than just weekly appointments. They're her friends, advisors, insurance guys, prayer partners, and family. She and her customers confide in each other about all types of decisions, and getting the COVID-19 vaccine is no different. My mother now takes clients at her house, in my old bedroom, which conveniently has its own entrance from the outside.
Hey there.
Hello, hello, hello.
That's one of her newer customers, Joe Bryant, who also happens to be my grandmother's occupational therapist. And the shop talk begins. My mom asks if he's run across a lot of people who have had the vaccination.
Actually, I haven't. Not at this point. I think a lot of people are still sort of waiting to see how other people are reacting to it before they go in and get it. With myself, I actually haven't taken the vaccine yet. And, you know, at first I was on the fence about it. And then I started thinking about the history of vaccines in general and how they can be a positive help to society. But I know a lot of people of color are a little bit reserved about taking vaccines just because of, you know, certain things that have happened in the past.
Reserved. Some might say they're reserved. Others would say people of color, especially Black people, should be outright skeptical. My mom's customer, Tafari Brent, says they have every right to be.
You go to the early 1900s, to the Tuskegee experiments where Black folks were intentionally...
Besides the government actively tampering with Black people's health, he points out that early on, the ones promoting the vaccine were not to be trusted.
No intelligent human being, especially no intelligent Black person, would trust anything coming out of the Trump's team. He was a staunch racist, a white supremacist, a white...
Whereas those actually behind the vaccine, some of whom are Black, aren't being publicized as much.
Is the fact that there was a system who really helped create the vaccine, right? But Black folks haven't been made aware of that information.
And so, I mean...
So there are a cornucopia of variables that contribute to that distrust and that uncertainty.
And it makes perfect sense.
With so much uncertainty, how do you decide what to do and how do you make peace with your decision? My mom's customer, Reverend Kim Evans, has already had his vaccine shot. He says he looks at the science and he trusts God.
I began to pay attention to the science, and I heard while I was mentally contemplating and, you know, like a message. So the message would stop the spread. And everything that's done contrary to stopping the spread is only causing more problems. The scripture clearly says that at certain points in time, you know, you gotta be governed by your conviction.
Eventually, I asked my mom about her decision-making process.
When you first heard that it was available, I mean, did you immediately say, okay, let me schedule it?
No, I waited about a week, a few days before I scheduled it. Talking to my clients, they didn't have to convince me, but just, you know, getting different perspectives encouraged me to go ahead.
My mom is taking safety measures at the shop, wearing a mask, providing hand sanitizer, allowing in only one client at a time, but she is seeing clients in the same house where she cares for my grandmother, who has pre-existing conditions that make her vulnerable. So when my mom heard a message on the radio saying anyone over 75 is eligible to make an appointment, she decided to get the vaccine for my grandmother and for herself.
I called about 2 or 3 days later, and I had no problem. I was speaking to an operator in, I'd say, 3 to 5 minutes.
So there, the appointment was set. But still, since grandma suffers from both Parkinson's disease and dementia, getting her to take the vaccine wasn't an easy conversation or task.
I knew I had to approach it a certain way. I knew that I had to make it like something that we were just gonna do. Not to ask her, did she want to do it? Because I know my mom, she is the mama, and I'm the daughter, and I still obey my mother. But because I'm her caregiver, there are some things that she understands are necessary for me to take care of her and to keep her as healthy as possible.
So on the last Tuesday of January, they went to TCF Center to get their first dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. And I tagged along.
In 1,000 feet, turn right onto Steve Iserman Drive.
So, Ma, how are you feeling right now?
A little bit anxious. Just a little bit, because I'm, you know, it's a new experience. I don't even get flu vaccinations. But the thought of being on a respirator or a machine to breathe, I think I'd rather get the vaccination.
At TCF Center, we drive into the lower level parking deck. My mom completes some paperwork, and then a nurse approaches our car. It's really loud in here, and my grandmother's voice is very soft, so you won't hear her very much.
Good morning.
Hi there. Hi. I'm Jeffrey. I'm going to look at your paperwork.
My mom gives Nurse Jeffrey the intake forms, and now it's vaccine time. Grandma's up first.
Your arm relaxed, and on count of three, go ahead and wiggle your fingers.
1, 2, 3.
That's it.
Okay.
Now it's my mom's turn. He comes over to her side of the car.
And you're Donna, right?
Yes.
Now I want you to do the same thing. Wiggle your fingers.
1, 2, 3.
That's it.
Okay.
How bad was that?
It wasn't bad at all.
We pull to the side and wait 15 minutes to make sure neither my mom nor my grandma have an allergic reaction to the vaccine. And right at the 15-minute mark, Jeff comes back to check on us.
Are you both feeling okay? No reactions?
No. No mom, any reactions? She's fine.
Okay.
And I'm good too.
Everybody's good, and Jeff sends us on our way.
I'm gonna let you go then.
All right, thank you.
The whole process takes about an hour. We grab some lunch, help my grandma back into the house, and then I sit down with my mom.
How does it feel now that you started the vaccination process?
Good. I feel like hopefully we can all take off our masks very soon, and the sooner everyone gets vaccinated, the sooner we can get to the new normal. I'm looking forward to that.
Me too.
The process of getting the vaccine may have been easy for Aaron's family, but that's not the case everywhere in the state. When we come back, how a partnership between the city and Quicken Loans helped to make the vaccine rollout smoother than in other places. We'll be right back.
Support for Michigan Public's Stateside podcast comes from Lake Trust Credit Union, working to empower financial well-being for Michigan consumers, businesses, and communities. Committed to financial solutions and advice to support people and families. More information at laketrust.org.
Support for the Stateside podcast comes from Kalamazoo College, offering a personalized education that combines critical thinking, curiosity, and creativity. Committed to preparing students for meaningful careers that make a positive impact on the world. More at kzoo.edu. Part of the reason vaccination has been a rough go in Michigan is that the institutions responsible for getting appointments lined up and doing the vaccine clinics, in a lot of places, these institutions, they're public health departments, and they tend to be underfunded. Many of the priority people they're trying to reach aren't checking websites all the time and signing up for vaccines in 7 different places. It takes a lot of work to get them together. But when Detroit set out to test and vaccinate for COVID-19, it found a very powerful ally. The heavy hitter in downtown Detroit, developer Dan Gilbert's Quicken Loans. Quicken actually jumped in and agreed to help the city do this. Jared Fleischer is a VP of Government Affairs for Quicken Loans. So can you tell us about the partnership with the city of Detroit for vaccine administration? How did Quicken get involved?
This partnership actually goes back to March, right at the beginning of the pandemic. Our CEO, Jay Farner, reached out to Mayor Duggan and said, "How can we help, Mr. Mayor?" And the mayor said, "You guys have thousands of people that answer phones. You guys know how to build technology. Most important thing we need to do right now is get Detroiters tested. Can you help?" And we did. On a pro bono basis, we put together a strike team that worked around the clock for a couple of weeks through the weekends, building very complicated scheduling technology and data flow to set up what was then the big testing site at the state fairgrounds. And we ran that operation with the city for months and months. It's still going now, not at the state fairgrounds, but we're still doing the testing side of things. And then obviously once the vaccines were developed, we had the same conversation with the mayor. How can we help? And he said, let's do it all over again. So we built an adapted scheduling system, a little bit different when it comes to vaccinations, because there's different ways that you can be eligible, right? Either as a senior citizen or as a critical worker, and we need different kinds of information. But we built the system. We've got about 80 folks manning the phones, and to date, we've scheduled almost 43,000 vaccination appointments at the TCF Center in downtown Detroit.
Jared, there are any number of large-scale employers in Detroit that did have a stake in public health, but why was it important for Quicken to help facilitate a smooth vaccination experience for the city?
There are a lot of great corporate citizens in Detroit. You know, I'm proud to work for one that I think has made that a part of its identity, perhaps more than any other. We're the largest employer in the city. We have a foundation that's deeply active in the city. You know, it's in Dan's blood and his heart and his DNA to give back to the city. And that's why, you know, our first call was to the mayor. How can we help?
I think when people think about the nature of Quicken's business, I mean, there are a number of white collar jobs that can be done over the phone. Is it an essential piece of day-to-day operations to have people healthy and able to come to work?
There's no question that it is. And we look forward to future phases of the vaccine rollout that will enable more and more of our employees to come back to the office. We think that's an important thing for our folks as humans, for their mental health. I think a lot of folks think they could be more productive if they're back in the office with their teammates. We think it's critical for the city of Detroit to have our thousands of team members back in the office supporting all the small businesses that are downtown around our office space. We're still probably a little bit of a ways from the vaccination process opening up to office workers like that. Right now it's focused on really the most vulnerable, our senior citizens and other frontline workers who have no choice but to be working on the ground, be it at a grocery store or critical health worker. So that's the focus now. We're making good progress here in the city in vaccinating those populations, and we look forward to seeing it expanded further.
There were a number of different logistical pieces to this. What did the city and Quicken prioritize first for organizing?
Most important thing was to make this accessible to Detroiters. So we thought about, you know, do we build a website to do this? And with the mayor's, guidance, really the answer was no, we need to have a call center because a lot of Detroiters, we do have an issue in Detroit with the digital divide. So the focus was how can we make this as convenient and as accessible as possible for Detroiters? That's why we built the, that's why we operated it through the call center and built all the technology to be able to take the information over the phone and send it everywhere that it needs to go to run a successful operation.
How has the partnership made for a different experience in Detroit than in some of the other cities and counties throughout the state where the primary engine might be a hospital or it might be the county health department?
Right. There's, I think, two critically important points. The first is, you know, the hospital systems are great actors. But what we have seen is that disadvantaged populations who are often disconnected from health systems are having less success in getting vaccinated through health systems. And it's not because health systems are by any means turning them away, but disadvantage and communities who are more disconnected are having a hard time knowing about and navigating those processes. So what we're doing here in the city is it's really directed, you know, towards Detroit residents who may not have those other resources, a PR campaign, outreach, and a daily effort led by the mayor himself to make sure Detroiters are aware of what we're doing. And really having an operation that is dedicated to Detroiters who may not otherwise be able to access this through other avenues. And then the mayor has said many times, and he's absolutely right, that we have some advantages here in Detroit in doing this and doing this at scale. We have a facility like the TCF Center, the Regional Convention Center. The mayor has a committed partner in Quicken Loans and Rocket Mortgage and Rock Connections. Those are all our entities that can do the technology and the call center at scale, you know, with 80 people working on it every day, just on the call center side, another dozen or so on the technology side. So the need combined with the unique assets we have here, I'm added up to, I think, one of the most substantial and best run efforts anywhere in the country.
The rollout hasn't been particularly smooth anywhere in the United States, really. Maybe that's not surprising, given the scarcity of vaccine doses at this stage of the game. But do you think that there are some lessons to be learned about what happens when corporate support is in harmony with city administration for a public good?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's many lessons here about what positive corporate citizens can do from the extraordinary efforts by, you know, Pfizer and Moderna to develop the vaccines in partnership with the federal government, that partnership all the way down to the kind of partnership you're seeing here between, the Rocket family companies and the city definitely shows what public-private partnerships can do.
Can we talk a little bit about, there are communities that don't have corporate citizens on the scale of Quicken to help organize and implement on a mass scale. Do you think there's something here that could scale down at a smaller level?
Absolutely. And not only do we think that, but we want to support that. So, for example, when we launched the testing site, we open sourced the software and we open sourced a very, very detailed playbook. So any community in Michigan or the United States could take it and replicate it without having to figure out, you know, all the hard, you know, coding work and logistical steps on their own. And you just need folks to implement it. And you can do that at a small scale.
We've had some reporting on the skepticism about getting vaccinated in the city of Detroit. There is a part of the population that is not sure that they're ready to do this right now. A lack of trust either that the vaccine will work or that it will be safe. Can you say anything about how the company has talked about that maybe internally in addressing its own employees' decisions about whether to get vaccinated?
Absolutely. So we are going to encourage our team members to get vaccinated. We're going to educate them and provide resources. We're not going to mandate the vaccine by any means, but we're going to do everything we can to facilitate it and to educate our team members that it is safe and effective. More broadly, and we're seeing this in our partnership with the city, the best evidence that it's safe and effective is greater and greater adoption. So as somebody's, you know, friend, neighbor, relative gets vaccinated and is just fine, well, then that's another person who's who's confident that this is safe, effective, and a critically important thing to do. And that's really a key part of the strategy, you know, in the city that we are seeing. Again, we've scheduled, you know, 42, 43,000 appointments. There is definitely a very strong demand, and but there is vaccine apprehension. The strategy is to have, you know, more and more people get it, more friends, more neighbors, to then bring comfort to those who are apprehensive.
Jared Fleischer is a VP for Government Affairs for Quicken Loans. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Take care.
And that's the Stateside Podcast for today. I'm April Baer. You can find more of Stateside at michiganradio.org. If you like what you're hearing on the pod, would you do us a favor? Share it with someone. You can also rate us and review the show wherever you listen to your podcasts. We always love to hear from you. The executive producer of Stateside is Laura Weber-Davis. Today's show was produced by Mercedes Mejia with Aaron Allen. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next time.